If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 5 as we go through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. As we're walking with the disciples, the church is growing. The message is getting out. Things are happening. We see signs and wonders. We see the church is unified. There's a public presence, highly esteemed. There's a growing of the church. There are people coming to the Lord. It was diverse, men and women, different nationalities, Jews and Gentiles, a source of healing within Jerusalem. And it continues to spread. They're casting out demons. They're healing people. Ministry is going great. And yet, Peter and John are in prison. They're thrown into jail. How could this be? Well, all things work for the good of those who are in Christ. Those are called according to his purpose. And so we pick it up in Acts 5 in verse 12 where we left off. Well, we'll just brief some of these reviews from last week. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Can you imagine? They shook the earth. They shook the world around them. People were coming to the saving grace of Jesus Christ because of the name of Jesus Christ, not because of them. Now, it's interesting because they get thrown into jail because they are preaching in the name of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was passing out the meals, right? Feeding the 5,000, feeding people, healing them. Everybody loved him until he started saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one gets to the Father but through me. When he began to say that he is the Messiah, they began to turn on him. The same with you. You could hang out with people, have fun, mention the name of Jesus, and they will scatter or they will turn on you, one of the two. There is no equal ground, right? You either gather or you scatter. And though you may laugh together and cry together, the Bible says that there is no peace. Why? Because we have principalities in the spiritual realm that are battling. We have a spirit of God that dwells within us. And so here the disciples are serving the Lord. They've been empowered by God. They're now thrown into jail. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, with the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. They had the power, the church, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those in ruling authority, had the power to put you to death and to put you into prison as well. And so they're not happy about what's happening. Listen, the world's not happy that we're preaching Jesus. The world's not happy that we're on the internet. The world's not happy that we're lifting up song and praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. They're not happy. They're actually frustrated. We'll see this. They were filled with indignation, so they throw them into a common prison. Verse 19, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak the gospel to the people, all the words of life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. They did, listen, exactly what they were told to do. Without hesitation, they go. Now, they've been set free, so it's interesting. They have been set free. But how does Satan challenge us, right? They once were in prison, now they're set free. They could have hid, they could have ran, right? What does he do? Does Satan battle us constantly with physical battles and conversations? No. He'll challenge you with compromise. Hey, let's talk about religion and God. We just won't mention Jesus. Let's talk about everything but Jesus. And that's kind of what's happening in some churches today. Compromise. What's the biggest nation? Procrastination. Procrastination, right? We'll delay. We'll do it later or maybe later on. Listen, they were set free. They were told to go. And they did it. Listen, God wants us to respond to his call in our life. He would rather you be hot or cold. But if lukewarm, he spews you out of his mouth, the Bible says. Choose today your service. Is it service to you or is it service to your Creator? Choose today. If you're lukewarm, wishy-washy, you're not going to be effective, right? This $20 bill has no value, cut in half. None. You can give half of your service or lukewarm service to the Lord. He's going to spew you out. There's no value in half. It's a whole that comes together that makes the value of this $20 bill. As an illustration, Jesus didn't commit halfway to the cross. He committed all the way unto death. He didn't get up there and say, all right, that's enough. I'm done. See what you can do to get to heaven. He committed himself wholeheartedly to God. And these guys now see the power of God. The angel comes and sets them free. And what do? Well, the Sadducees didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they rejected it. They seized these guys. They put them in common prison. What happens while they're in prison? Serving God with a pure heart reveals his worship in you. We can serve the Lord anywhere. What do? They start a prison ministry. Do you think they're not talking about Jesus in the jail? There's a prison ministry. No matter, and this is key for us. Listen, he says, you are the light and the light of the world and salt unto the earth. And he takes you as light and salt and he puts you somewhere in this world, right? He puts you in a house, in a family, in a neighborhood, in an occupation to represent him. We all don't have the same occupation. I went to neighborhoods and places and situations that you would never go. And you go to places that I don't go, right? So no matter who you are, God wants to use you. And he'll use you in difficulties. We're going to talk about that because we want things so easy. We live in a world where things are so quick and so comfortable. If you think back, you know, way back when in the Civil War, they didn't have the medicines and things like that. In the wars, they would just, you know, have some whiskey. They cut you open, pull the bullet out. Now it's so comfortable, you don't feel anything. There's medicines and procedures. We live in a comfortable world. I told the story going to Haiti where we were literally out in a field with a makeshift stage. And there were people just kneeling in the mud. And the grass and the sand. It was rock, sand, and mud. That's what it was. And they're lifting their hands up and praising God. What were they doing? They weren't asking for anything. They were worshiping. And it really brought me to tears. I'm not that emotional. It kind of brought me to tears to watch that. Because here in America, we have to coax you to come into church. Hey, we've got a special speaker, special band. Cushion seats. Too cold, too hot. We'll adjust it for you. We'll have coffee after service. Come and hang out with us. Everything's hip. And if you don't like the music we're playing, we'll change it for you. No. God puts us in a place to represent him, to lift up his name, to bring the message of hope to the hopeless. They're hopeless apart from God. And they need to know that. They need to know the repercussions of their sin is death. And so these guys are thrown into jail. What do? They start a ministry. John was isolated from witnessing and preaching when he was in the Isle of Patmos. And what does God do? God shows up and reveals himself to him, and he writes the book of Revelation. We can serve God anywhere at any time of our life. David was a young boy. He fights against Goliath. As an old man, he's serving the Lord. We can choose to live in the hope for the Lord no matter where we go. It doesn't matter who you are. God wants to use you. Again, he puts you in a place and a time to be light. Light does what? Light illuminates what you cannot see in the dark. Light illuminates truth that the world needs to hear. Now, some will respond to it, and like we'll read, some will want to put you to death. Either way, we have a calling. We have been equipped, called, and listen, empowered by the Holy Spirit to resist all the temptations to not talk about Jesus. Because they're there, right? I've told you, every time I'm asked to do an invocation in a public setting, mostly for law enforcement, etc., in my head it says, hey, tone down that Jesus stuff. Now, where's that coming from? It's coming from the flesh, right? You know, they're not going to invite you back. The reality is I'm not listening to that. I'm preaching in the name of Jesus, and they keep inviting me back, right? But the flesh says one thing, compromise, right? Tone that down. Procrastinate. You'll get to it eventually. Ah, and time is going by. The clock is ticking. I want to thank all the ladies for participating in the tea yesterday, and I mentioned an illustration that if you had a bank account that gave you $86,000 every day, and you had to spend it all every day, and at the end of the day, it goes to zero. But at the beginning of the next day, it starts again, $86,000. What would you do? Man, you would spend so much time trying to spend that money. Every penny, every cent, giving it away, buying stuff. Every day, you'd have an opportunity to use it. But we have that bank account. It's called time. Every day, we have 86,400 minutes. Or seconds, I'm sorry. Seconds to utilize, to glorify God. Use it. Use it now. Use it immediately because our time is short. They didn't let their situation hinder their call. So no matter where they were, in front of the leadership that hated them, that wanted to kill them, they preached Jesus. They're put into the prison. What do? They preach Jesus. And you, no matter where you are, who you are, can represent Jesus. Now, everybody doesn't have a platform where they're teaching and preaching. But you can love on people. You can show the love of Christ. You can show that you care for them and pray that the conversation, God will open up the door to have that. And it's very simple. How does that happen sometimes? Hey, what church do you go to? That'll open up a conversation. You'll know right away if they're going to church and if they're a believer, right? Oh, I don't go, that's full of hypocrites. Well, join us. We need one more, right? Come on. It's very simple. We make things so hard. When something happens, yeah, you know, I used to think that way, but, man, I was reading the Bible, and my whole life changed. Really? How? Oh, let me tell you. You see, God's going to open up the door. We just need to be faithful in doing what he said to do, to be ready, willing, and he has enabled us to bring the good news of the gospel to people, to show the love of Christ, even in a person like me, even in a person like you, because we're all flawed. None of us are perfect, but he's perfect. Amen. And he has imputed into you his perfection, holy, his holiness, his purity. Listen, his righteousness. We don't get to heaven because we're righteous. We get to heaven because he is righteous. And he has imputed his righteousness into us. That's how we get there. Not because we're so great, because he's so great. Good people don't go to heaven. What's that, Pastor? Good people don't go to heaven. Redeemed people go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. How are they forgiven? How are they redeemed? He says so, that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Saved from the wrath of God. And so that's the message, no matter where they are, in front of a crowd of people that could take their lives in jail, God sends an angel, sets him free. Amazing. So, notice they're not freed to escape and to hide. Right? Man, I got out of that one. I better not say that again. No. They're going to follow what God has said. What did the angel tell them? The angel's a messenger. Ghost, and you're a messenger too. You can tell them what the word says. You better be saved. You better come to the Lord with a repentant heart. Turn from your ways and honor and glorify God. The angel says to them, go stand in the temple and speak the words of this life. Life in Christ Jesus. We are called to go, listen, near and far to all over the world, near and far. Some of us are called to go near, close, here, in a church setting, in a ministry, no matter what that is. And others are called to go far. on the other side of the world. Pastor Ron's sister is an evangelist, been all over the world, across the seas. Everybody's not called to that. And just because you get saved, don't say, oh, he's going to send me somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Not necessarily. If he does send you there, you're going to want to go because he's equipped and called you. You'll have that desire that he has. You have the mind of Christ. You will be in union with the Lord. You'll want to do what he wants you to do. Now, there'll be opposition internally in the flesh, right? It happens. Is it inconvenient? Yeah. Right? Yes. Let me tell you a little bit more about Ryan. That one second up there that we talked about Ryan, there's so much more. Ryan would come early on a Sunday, set up, do the service, break it down, and then come back on Sunday night to do the radio with us. Well, he lived in Palm Beach. There's a financial task with that. There's gas, right? And it was a commitment. And every week, faithfully, Ryan would do that. Julia's mother would sacrifice too. Ryan would have the car. Sometimes she would pick him up. Was it inconvenient? Yes. But what does that have to do with anything? Life is inconvenient, right? I didn't want to get up this morning. I want to sleep a little longer, right? And sometimes inconvenience will stop people from doing what God has called them to do. Would it have been convenient for the disciples to just go hide? Of course. Would they have been glorifying God? No. And like Ryan, he resisted the temptation for convenience. Sometimes he stayed in Broward County the whole day so that he could be at the radio at night. Now, I don't know what he did. We'll have a conversation later. But I'm just saying, he was inconvenienced, but it didn't matter. He served the Lord faithfully. And what a great example for us to emulate in our life. Yes, it's inconvenient because the flesh wants to do something else. But some of us are called near and far. And no matter where we're called, listen, to be faithful. Faithful, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to bring the message of the gospel. I know my body doesn't want it. But my spirit is stronger than the flesh. You see, he's given us self-control. That's part of the fruits of the spirit. Self-control. I can control myself. Isn't that great? There was a time I had no control, right? That's what they call out of control. I was one of those. And maybe you were too. But listen, like this angel broke the chains and opened up the doors, Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death, and he's told us to go preach the words of life, just like he told these disciples. We have no excuse. Life is inconvenient. Do what he said. Glorify God. Go bring the good news. If you're a believer in Christ, you have been set free from the law of sin and death. And he's called us to go bring the good news. And he says, my burden is easy. Easy. It's light. Why? Well, we make it so difficult, right? We want to add to everything. Just be who God has called you to be. Speak joy and peace. Yeah, things are hard, but this will pass. We'll get over this. There's a tomorrow, right? There's a future. Whatever that looks like. Future here or future there? If you're there, it's a home run, right? Speaking of heaven. So they're faithful. The angel tells them to go and speak. Commanded to go to the temple and preach the resurrection. This is in direct opposition of those who are in charge there, the Sadducees. A direct violation of what they were told to do. And yet they obey to their own peril. They entered the temple. This is courageous obedience, right? Courageous obedience early in the morning. Instant obedience. They didn't wait. And they taught complete obedience. Courageous, instant, and complete. Now our tendency, remember the biggest nation is procrastination? Our tendency is to pray, oh Lord, thank you for setting me free from prison. Thank you for setting me free from eternal damnation. Thank you for dying on the cross, for forgiving me of my sins. And you have opened up the spiritual doors to set me free from my sins. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And I'm going to serve you, Lord, and share your gospel real soon. Maybe tonight, or maybe tomorrow. For sure, maybe tomorrow. Well, maybe not tomorrow, but real soon. And I know you told me to go and share the word, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get right on it real soon, or as soon as I can. That hit home? Sometimes it does, right? Sometimes we're right on task. We're walking in the Spirit, man. Something happens. We're representing Christ. We're bringing the good news. We're loving on people, caring on people. But sometimes not. Sometimes we miss the opportunity. Why? Because we haven't been walking in the light. We haven't been walking with the Lord in the Spirit. We've been walking in the world, in the flesh. And perhaps we woke up in the morning, we had so many things to do. Well, I got to get to those things. We should set all of those things apart and go before the light, the Lord. The Word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why do I need a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? I need to know where I'm standing. And then I need to know where I'm going. And it's the Word of God. The world doesn't know this. The world rejects it. But there are people in the world that we are ministering to. Remember, Jesus, before he left, didn't say, Lord, save my disciples. Take them out of here. He says, no, Lord, don't take them out, but protect them while they're here. And then he prays for those who will come to know God through their message. Through their message. And so he protects us. But we need to be obedient. If we're not obedient and we're procrastinating or we're compromising, there's no power. You're lukewarm. So it's very simple. Do what he says. Just do it. Do what he says and watch what God does. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. It's very hard sometimes. Not that his message is hard or his work is hard, but we have living in a fleshly world, in a fleshly body with a fleshly mind that we have to battle with, right? It wants to compromise in the Spirit. We fight against the flesh and the Spirit. But there's power in the Spirit. And so we can do what he tells us to do. And meanwhile, the Sanhedrin is about to convene. And Paul is probably for sure present there. And they send for the prisoners. And now catch the humor of this. The temple guard reports that the apostles are missing. They're not there. Remember, the angel opened up the door of the prison and set them free. So they're not there anymore. Could you imagine their response? What do you mean they're not here? Pay attention to the details. Listen, the prison was shut securely. The guards were outside at the posts. Inside, it was empty. A reminder of what? The resurrection. That's exactly what happened. The prison tomb was empty. Couldn't hold the Savior. Couldn't hold the Messiah, right? He was gone. Why would we think this is so spectacular? Well, it is because God is great. But just consider, he's got it all under control. He is sovereign. None of this takes him by surprise. It takes us by surprise, right? How did Luke come to such detail about this? Remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts. How did he come to these details? Paul was there. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He was there. And perhaps this is how Luke got the information. And so, you cannot bind the testimony of Jesus Christ. Period. No matter what the world thinks, no matter what government will do, can't bind it, right? God will use government. God put them in jail. The religious government threw them in jail. They had the power to do that. And the word still went out. And so this tells us the captain, the second in command, arrests them again and brings them without violence before the council. And again, the religious leaders fear the popular opinion. They fear the people. False leaders will be more concerned about the populist than doing the right thing. True leadership is driven by the conviction of the heart to the truth, right? And that's why in some environments, the churches have watered down the gospel. They have compromised. Listen, if we're not teaching the word, there's nothing to talk about up here. I mean, I can tell you stories, but there's no power in that. That's not going to save you. It's not going to change your heart. It's not going to equip you for the works of service. It's the word of God that equips us for works of service. And this is what we're doing. We're learning the character. We're watching what happens to these disciples. These were the first ones after the resurrection of what happened after Jesus was resurrected. And so we see it's difficult, right? They're struggling. They've been put in jail, but they keep on keeping on. They keep on shining the light of truth. Wow. What an example for us to follow. Was it inconvenient? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. But God was with them and God was empowering them. And so that brings us to verse 27 through 32. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Now, we've talked in detail, right? We're supposed to submit to the authorities. Do what they say, right? Is this compromising? Let's look. And the high priest asked, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. What was the result of their faithfulness? We just read it. They filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of salvation through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank God. We praise the Lord. They want to kill these guys. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, and here's the key about submission, right? We ought to obey God rather than man. Period. That's your answer. We submit to authority unless it's in compromise to the word of God. And it's right before you. It's right here. Verse 30, then God, or the God of our fathers raised up, so he's preaching to them now. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus when you murdered him by hanging him on a tree. Now imagine the courage that this fisherman who ran from a girl at a fire pit and denied Jesus three times is now standing before the council who put them in jail again, who could take their life. How did this power happen? Where did he get this courage from? The Holy Spirit. God had promised that. The Holy Spirit will come upon you to do what? To give you power to do what? To be his witness. Ah, now we understand. To be his witness. He doesn't say go out and start all these programs. That may happen. There's a place for that. But the Holy Spirit gives you power no matter where you are, whatever time in your life that you're at, to be his witness. Wow. Now we have an understanding, right? So we see here, verse 31, him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are the witnesses, exactly what the power gave them to do, to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Who gets the Holy Spirit? Those who obey him. Let's talk about that. So the high priest reminds them that they were warned not to preach. What a great indictment, right? They preached in the name of Jesus. Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. This is obedience, right? Obedience 108, right? Chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness. Listen, you're a witness of Christ. You're a witness of Christ. You are light and salt. Salt preserves. Salt brings flavor. But here's what salt does. Salt creates thirst. Thirst for the living water. You can't lead a horse to water? Give him some salt. Right? Salt creates thirst for the living. People are going to say, man, there's something about you. You're not who you were. What happened? And they're waiting for you to fail, right? Is this real? Is this real? This is why you don't bring someone who's been, born again right away, young in the faith, into leadership. Because they haven't experienced, they haven't grown, they haven't been taught. There's a lot to it, right? We start, but we begin to grow as we walk with the Lord. And so they're obedient. They have been empowered by God. And here's what they say. You intend to bring this man's blood on us. What does that mean? Well, I want to read to you something. And if you can turn there if you'd like or take note. Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. Remember when they dragged Jesus before Pontius Pilate? And Pontius Pilate says, who do you want to... because the custom was to release a prisoner. Who do you want, this terrorist, Barnabas, or Jesus? And they all said Barnabas. And Pilate's wife comes and tells Pilate, have nothing to do with this guy. I had a dream about him. In Matthew 27, verse 19, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barnabas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said, which of the two do you want me to release? They said, Barnabas. And Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? We all have to answer that question. What do we do with this man, Jesus, who is called the Christ? He is either our Savior or he's our judge, one of the two. And so they all said, listen, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil has he done? But they didn't really care. They cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. And listen, verse 24. When Pilate saw that they could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this, of the blood of this just person. So even Pilate says he's just, right? You see to it. And verse 25 is the key right here. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. And then they released Barnabas to them. They scourged Jesus and they delivered him to be crucified. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. Well, obviously they forgot that, because they're saying here, you intend to bring this man's blood on us. Now we have an answer generationally why things have happened to Israel, God's people. They have rejected the Messiah. And so the apostles continue their teaching in the midst of the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees. And Peter gives the basis for their civil disobedience. What is it? We ought to obey God rather than man. Man tells us God's not real. Man tells us about a Big Bang theory. Man tells us there is no Messiah, that this is it. This world is it. This is it. This is the best there's going to be. Well, if you're not a believer, this is the best it's going to be, because on the other side is damnation. God says that I so loved you, that I gave my son, that if you would believe in him, you would have eternal life. And you would be with me forever. All roads lead to the judgment seat. Our judgment has been paid through Jesus Christ. They will meet him as a judge. Well, he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so those are the words of life. Life is in Jesus Christ the Son. They have been faithful. Faithfulness does not mean you will not have opposition. It is guaranteed you'll have opposition. We'll talk about it. And so, also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us who obey. God gives a spirit to those who obey. What defines obedience to God? This is a must-know fact. This is a must-know verse. If you're taking notes, John 6, 29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus says no one can come to the Father. Jesus says no one can come to me unless he's drawn by the Father. Remember, Peter says you are the Christ. And Jesus says, my Father has revealed that to you. When it is revealed to us, we have a choice to respond to that and to believe. And so, thus, this is the work of God, that you believe in him he sent. So, in obedience to that, the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. There's also a sense of the empowering, being filled with the Spirit. And we rejoice, listen, in our obedience. We're thankful that the Lord has given us the power and the ability, listen, to be obedient to the truth, to be able to see the truth. Now, anybody could read this script, this text, and everyone will not understand it. Why? It's in another language. It's a spiritual language. Now, I can tell you 10:26:04. You have no idea what I just said unless you're a policeman, right? It's a whole other language. It's a code. You heard the words, 10:26:04. You heard those numbers, but you have no comprehension of it because it's a different language. The Word of God has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And this gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are dying in their sins. But to those who believe, they have been set free. The scales of this blindness have been taken off. We now have spiritual eyes to see truth, spiritual ears to hear the truth, and listen, even as great as those, a spiritual voice to speak the truth. Amen. And that all comes from the Spirit of God in you, and it happens by us being obedient to what He says. And we can display the love of God by compassion, caring for people. This gathering together as the church is how it's supposed to be. It's a family gathering. We're all children of God. We're going to be living in heaven together. We come together as the body of Christ to rejoice in the Lord, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to rejoice with those who need rejoicing and to mourn with those who mourn, right? The body, well, we don't know that if we're not coming. Not only that, the message is a meal. The Word of God is spiritual food. It's drink. It's substance. It's meat and potatoes of the Scriptures. Well, there's a meal going out. You've missed it. Especially if you're coming every couple times. You've missed the whole meal. I don't know what he's talking about. I wasn't here last week. Come. Be filled with the Spirit and watch what God does. Listen, we are obedient to him and faithful. I'm running out of time. Verses 33-40. And when they heard this, they were furious. What happens when they hear what? The truth. When they are told, you killed him, you murdered him, but the Father has raised him, and he's seated at the right hand. They were furious and plotted to kill them. So everybody's not going to be happy when they hear the good news. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. Get these guys out of here. We got to talk. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. We heard that last week, didn't we? Take heed to yourselves. Think about what you're doing. This is what he says. What you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And when they had called the apostles in and beaten them, then commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus. So Peter's sermon didn't go over well with these guys, right? What happens? They're furious. Who do you think you are telling us? Do you know who we are? They're furious. But they listen to the counsel. And God uses this man again to give them a second chance. Take heed of yourselves in what you're doing. And God uses this opportunity, listen, to delay this. To delay. Why? All things work out for those the good, those are in Christ, those are called according to his purpose. God was working out his plan, and his purpose. We're going to get back to this text next week because there's too much to continue and rush through this. Remember these words. If it's of God, no one can overthrow it. You cannot overthrow it. And that means you.